How many of you know what day was last Sunday? In the Christian calendar, there is always a day that we call the Day of Pentecost. Amen? And the Day of Pentecost usually happens 50 days after the Passover, and it was the day when the Holy Spirit came upon the church. Amen? And came upon the disciples who were told by Jesus to wait in Jerusalem. Amen? And we usually remember the Day of Pentecost as believers because it is the day that marks the birth of the church. The church was birthed by the coming of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us that the body without the Spirit is dead. Today, if your spirit leaves you, you are dead. And the church without the Holy Spirit is dead. Christians, without the Holy Spirit, we are only motivational speakers. if it's an institution, without the Holy Spirit, we are dead. So today we are going to do a topic that is called the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and I pray that God will help us understand it. Amen. We are going to learn about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to read, and we're going to take our reading from Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 1 up to verse 21. Amen? The Bible says, "Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly," someone says suddenly. That means there was no waste of time. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Imagine they were like us today in an upper room. They were seated together. I believe someone was preaching to them. I believe Peter was preaching to them. And the Bible says, suddenly, a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. You can imagine. There was wind. They had the wind. And the Bible says, the wind filled the whole house. That means it was loud. You can imagine, like wind is blowing. It came as a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. And the Bible says, verse 3, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. Something happened supernaturally. Their eyes were open. Their spiritual eyes were open. And they saw tongues of fire. That means that it is like fire came and rested upon each and every one of them, and they could see the fire upon their heads. And this represents the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, and verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Say, all of them. All of them. That means it was not for some. Some people were not missed. Everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Say, all began. All began to speak with other tongues. That means that when the Holy Spirit came, it is not that some people were not speaking and others were speaking. The Bible says, all filled, tongues of fire came upon all of them, and the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, at times someone will say, but what will I say? Just open your mouth, move your mouth, and the Lord will give you utterance. Now, verse 5, the Bible says, and they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Verse 9, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? Others mocking, saying, they are full of wine, new wine. Verse 14, and Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. Verse 16. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, says that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit on those days, and they shall prophesy. Verse 19, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Can you imagine all these things that happened? What were the key things that happened? The Bible tells that the disciples were gathered together in one place and in one accord. That means when believers gather, Jesus said, where two or three come in my name, I am in their midst. Amen. So today, as we have gathered as believers, Jesus is here. Amen? Two. The number is two. To Jesus, he says the minimum number is two. And we're not gathering for social studies or for, you know, for to take coffee in the name of Jesus. Where two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus. So the disciples were gathered together in one place, in one accord, under the name of Jesus. We have seen also there was a sound from heaven. And then the sound was as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the entire room. Number three, we have seen that tongues of fire appeared and divided and sat upon every one of them. That means the Holy Spirit came upon all of them. Remember in the baptism of Jesus, what happened? The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form as a dove and rested upon Jesus. Now, this is what happened when Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Likewise, for the disciples, the Holy Spirit came, and what they saw for them to believe was that tongues of fire came upon them. And the Bible tells us they spoke in other tongues. That means they spoke in a language they did not know before. We all know, for me, I struggled in learning languages. You can take me somewhere, I will take long before I learn the language. But for some people, it's natural. 2 weeks, they pick greetings, they can say, Kewana chen, valo, valo, you know, they can greet. Some people, but for you to learn a language fluently in a second, suddenly, that is only a supernatural enablement of God. Amen? They spoke in languages. You can imagine all these languages. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Egypt. You know, even speaking African languages. Cyrene, Egypt. And what were they saying? God's name be praised. Hallelujah! You can imagine. And now the Jews who are coming from this saying, they're saying, but these people are from Galilee. How can they have learned how to speak Asian languages? They were speaking in other tongues. And the Bible says, we hear them say the works of God in our own tongues. And then something also happened on the day of Pentecost. Peter preached Jesus Christ. He said that this Jesus that you crucified is not in the grave. Amen? He is alive. And he is the reason why
these people are baptized in the Holy Spirit.
The reason why you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit is not because you are righteous. It's not because you have been holy all the cross week. It's because of one reason,
that Jesus died and he resurrected.
The only candidate, the only thing that makes you a candidate to be a believer is what?
Call on the name of Jesus.
It says that everyone who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, the only reason that you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit is you ask and you receive. Why? It is a gift. What is a gift? A gift is something I have promised to give you. If I tell you, I will give you a phone, you'll be very happy. You'll ask which type of phone. I'll give you an iPhone 16. You start dancing. Or if you're Samsung, I will give you a Samsung 25, S25. You say, when are you giving me? Now, Jesus was saying, I am going to heaven. But when I go, I'm going to ask the Father. And he's going to give you the best gift in heaven. What is the best gift? God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And he said, I have promised. It is the promise of the Father. The Father has promised, I will give you my Spirit. Now, if someone has promised you, your job is to say, Father, where is the promise? I am here. I receive it. Amen. And it's not based on your effort. It's based on what Christ has done. Jesus Christ resurrected. Amen. Amen. Now, the Bible says when Peter preached Christ crucified and resurrected, those that believe, your job is to believe. My job here is to make you believe. Can you believe that Jesus loves you so much that he died for you? Can you believe that Jesus loves you so much that he promised the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is available for you? You don't need, I don't know, how many days of fasting and how many times to prepare. He just said, you receive. The Bible says when the believers in Samaria, when the apostles heard that they had believed, they just came and they laid their hands on them, prayed for them, and the guys received. Peter, he goes to the house of Cornelius. He preaches to them. The Bible says, while he was still preaching, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. On the day of Pentecost, they were seated together in one place. And the Bible says, suddenly. That means in a moment of time, if you believe, you will receive the Holy Spirit. I don't mean that you don't have the Holy Spirit when you believe. There are people who preach that, oh, if you're not baptizing the Holy Spirit, if you're not speaking in tongues, then you're not a Christian. That is a wrong extreme. And then there are also people who believe that, oh, once I get born again and I believe Jesus, I have the Holy Spirit, I don't need baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is also another extreme that is different. What is God saying? God is saying, imagine you have water and you have a cup. When you fill water into the cup, what happens is that there is some water, and you can say there is water in the cup. Okay? Now, when we get born again, God regenerates our spirit. He makes us alive in him. When we accept Jesus, we are no longer dead. That means that you become alive in the Spirit. And when you're alive in the Spirit, then you can talk to God. Why? Because God is Spirit. An unbeliever cannot communicate to God and God hears. But if you believe in Jesus, your spirit is alive. Because the Holy Spirit comes into your spirit and makes it alive. Amen? Now, when you are made a Christian, you are given some water into your cup. But then, when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, that means that now God pours out more. You can imagine a cup is being filled with water until it becomes full. And after it becomes full, you keep pouring. What happens? It overflows. Now you see, Jesus told his disciples, do not leave Jerusalem until you are filled with power from heaven. Why? He's telling them that I have given you the Holy Spirit, but until you are overflowing, you cannot be an effective witness. Because he says, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That means that when we say to be filled with the Holy Spirit, is now the Holy Spirit coming and filling your cup until you overflow. Until you overflow. Now, when you overflow, that is when you find yourself, you're preaching to someone. Why? Because your cup is full. But if your cup is empty, if you meet someone crying, you say, it's okay, I don't know what to say. You have no idea what to say to this person because your cup is half cup, half full. You're not overflowing. But when you are full of the Holy Spirit, then you can meet someone and they are going through a problem and you can say something and it answers their problem. Why? Because your life is overflowing of God. Amen. Think of the Holy Spirit like water. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're full of the water of God. You are soaked with Him. And you are full of the Holy Spirit. So when we say the outpouring of God's Spirit, what do we mean? We say that the Holy Spirit is God Himself. Amen? The Holy Spirit, some people think that the Holy Spirit is wisdom. Some people think that the Holy Spirit is just a power, is just a force. But the Holy Spirit is God Himself. God is Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is God. And not only is He God, He is the third person of the Trinity, or what we call the Godhead. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are all equal. They are all equal. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That means that when the Holy Spirit comes in your life, when you can hear His voice guiding you, that means that you have the presence of God in your life. That means that you are not alone. You might be in Bangladesh alone, but you are not alone. Why? Because you have the presence of God with you. Not only is He around you, He is also inside you. That means that you can be thrown into a prison, but you are not alone. You can speak to your Father. That means even in the shower, you can speak to God and He hears. Why? Because our God is not in one place. He told the Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman said, you Jews say the place you must worship is the temple. And then we Samaritans, we worship on this mountain. Jesus said, look here, a time is coming. And has now come when the true worshippers shall worship the Father, neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem, but in spirit and in truth. Because these are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. So when the Bible says Jesus' name is Emmanuel, Emmanuel means what? God with us. That means that even if there was no church in Bangladesh, but you can go to your room and kneel down and pray, God will come and meet you. You can be in an accident. You are seeing the car is going into an accident. And you shout Jesus. And immediately He will hold your hand and protect you. Why? Because He is Emmanuel. God with us. Your God is for you. You know, there are people who have to carry their gods. When they are in trouble, they say, oh, I left my God in the house. Oh, I forgot to burn incense enough. Because to them, their God is in one location. Their God, when there is floods, their gods are carrying. But imagine your God cannot be taken while He is with you. Amen? Now, that important thing is that the Holy Spirit releases the power of God for the believers. Amen? If you met me when I was growing up, I was a very shy boy. Very thin boy and very shy. I could not stand before people. But there's something that happened when I was filled with the Holy Spirit. He gave me a confidence that I am not speaking for myself. I am speaking with the power of God. And this power is able to change the lives of people. When they hear the message, their lives are changed. They don't go the same way they came. When I lay my hands on the sick people, they become healed. When I pray for people, I just wait for testimonies. I don't doubt that I have prayed and God has answered. My job is, But why are you denying to bring a testimony? That is my mindset. After I have prayed, I'm asking, but when will this person tell me that the baby is okay? When will they tell me that they have a job? When will they tell me that their daughter got a job? Because we already prayed. So for them, they are surprised. Oh, Jesus, you healed. This fig tree that you cast is dead. That's it. I tell you the truth. If you believe, you can speak to this mountain, be removed and be thrown into the sea, and it will be done. If you speak and do not doubt, that's what I'm telling you. Do you believe God's word? Do you believe God's word? That he says it is a gift. Your job is to receive. The power is available to those who believe. Now I want us to ask our question. To whom is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit came upon the disciples who were obedient to wait in Jerusalem. When Jesus left, he left 500 people worshiping, going up to heaven. 500 people. But he gave them the same command, wait in Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Now, of those who obeyed, how many waited? Only 120. 500 minus 120 is what? Mathematics, accountants. 380 people. The guy has gone. But 120 people believed. Like now we invited 100 people to come. And then 20 or 30 people have come today. The Holy Spirit will come to those who came. Amen. 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 It will come to those who by faith they came. Amen. So you are in the right place. Amen. The second thing that we are seeing is that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is for all flesh. That means that it's not for angels. Angels don't receive the Spirit of God. The devil cannot receive the Spirit of God. Animals, cows, donkeys cannot receive the Spirit of God. But anyone that is a human being has the ability to receive the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. That means the Holy Spirit is available for every human being. That means whether you are black or white, brown, yellow, green, orange, even if you are gray, the Holy Spirit can come upon you. Amen? Because you have flesh, you have you, human being. Number two, the Bible says, I will pour out my Spirit on your sons and daughters. That means that the Holy Spirit does not distinguish whether you're a man or a woman. It is on all flesh. That means that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, even as a girl, you can stand before people and preach in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is why even a woman can become a pastor. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is also for your sons and your daughters. And the Bible says they shall prophesy. Prophecy there is preaching the gospel. The Bible also tells us that the outpouring is for young men and old men. Young men shall dream dreams. Which one sees dreams and which one sees visions? Old men shall see visions. Am I correct? Okay, young men shall see visions and old men shall dream dreams. I used to ask myself, why is it that the young men see visions and the old men dream dreams? The answer that came to me is, when a young man sees a vision, he has the time to accomplish. Amen? He can accomplish it, right? Because it's a picture of the future. But the old man is already old, so he can only dream and say, oh, anyway, maybe my children will continue. But God is saying that you will have supernatural revelation. Amen. When you are seeing visions and dreaming dreams, these are revelation pictures that God is giving you of the future. And that is why you can have a dream in the night. And that dream is for something that will happen tomorrow. If it is a bad dream, don't just wake up normally. Wake up and pray. Absolutely. Amen. God is showing you something that you need to fight in advance. Amen. If it is a good thing, start thanking God and preparing for it. Amen.
Amen.
And then the Bible says also, the outpouring is for my men servants and my maid servants. That means that it is no longer your sons. God is saying now, these are mine. God is owning them. And he's saying that these are for my servants. My men servants and my maid servants. So these are my priests. The Bible says you become priests unto God. Amen? And you become his possession. So what was the effect of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? What was the effect? The Bible tells us they spoke in other tongues. I tell you, when the Holy Spirit comes, some people will fall and collapse. Some people will start to shake. Some people will speak in other tongues. Some people will just, their eyes will be open. They will see dreams and vision. Why? Because the Holy Spirit can come in any way in any person. But on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says they spoke in other tongues. They were given a supernatural language. And one of the things that we see is that when people are filled with the Holy Spirit, they start to speak in a language that they did not know. Number two, they shall prophesy. Amen? Amen. What is prophecy? Prophecy is twofold. Speaking about the future and also speaking the mind of God to people. Amen? Now, when I tell you to come and share something, you go and pray and say, God, God, what should I share? Then God gives you a verse. Then when you come and share it, you are prophesying. Amen? You are prophesying. So the Bible says, they shall prophesy. I've also spoken about revelation, and your eyes will be open. Your spiritual eyes will be open, and you can see visions, and you can dream dreams. Then I've spoken about belonging to God, my men servants and my maid servants. And the Bible also says that you shall see wonders in the heavens and signs on the earth beneath. That means that there shall be power and miracles. And beyond that, two more things. They shall be declaring the great and awesome day of the Lord. That means judgment. Whether we like it or not, Jesus is coming back. And if he does not come back before we die, the Bible says it is appointed for man to die, then judgment. That means the next place after this life is judgment. And judgment is two things. Is your name in the book of life? It's not, oh, I used to go to church. It's not, oh, God, I used to give offering. It's not, oh, God, I used to play in the choir. It's not, oh, God, I used to sing. I used to bring my children for Sunday school. No. The question is your name in the book of life? If the answer is yes, you go to heaven. If the answer is no, devil is waiting for you. He said, that one is mine. Breathe. That one is mine. But Jesus says that, how do we enter the book of life? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to give us seven reasons why we need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit today. And then after that, we are going to pray together. Amen. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to be poured upon us. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to give us seven reasons why we need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit today. Number one is, he is the indwelling presence of God. Amen. Jesus said in John 14 verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. You know, people say, I don't know what told me to come to church today. You should know, it is the Holy Spirit that told you. Someone will say, I don't know why I was just feeling bad in that room, I left. Immediately I left, that roof collapsed. It is the Holy Spirit who is in you that spoke to you. Amen. You know how the Holy Spirit leads us? He's gentle. He does not force us. He's a small, still voice. And just tells you, why don't you organize yourself? Why don't you
replied this female,
that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that helped Daniel to be a governor. It helped Joseph to govern Egypt. You think the Holy Spirit is just for preaching? No, he's also to help you in your workplace. Without the Holy Spirit, we are just normal people. Amen? The Bible tells us, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Amazing how God is. He is around us. And he is inside us. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And the Bible tells us he will abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit will never leave you. He will never leave you. What happens is you may grieve him. You may be disobedient to him. But each time when you sleep, he tells you, I think what you're doing is wrong. Now, your job is, do I ask for forgiveness, or do I say, no, I don't touch here? You know, some people say, God, I can give you everything, but don't touch my relationship. Yet, to God, he is with us forever. Amen. The Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Whom you have from God, you are not your own. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Number two, we need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit because we need his guidance and teaching of the Holy Spirit. Amen. John 14 verse 26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And bring to your remembrance all the things that I say to you. Do you want to know God? I always speak with people and they say, oh, I want to be a preacher one day. I want to be a servant of God. You can never be a servant of God without the Helper, without the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he will teach you all truth. The Bible says that all scripture is inspired of God. That means that the Bible that we read was written by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you read the Bible and you don't understand it, you need to ask the writer. Who is the writer? The Holy Spirit. And say, Holy Spirit, I read this, but I don't understand it. Help me to understand. He is the teacher and he is the guide. John chapter 16, verse 13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Number three, okay, which is maybe I've missed the number, but it's okay. The power of God to be effective witnesses. Amen?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit comes to make us effective witnesses. Acts chapter 2, 1 verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 5 verse 12, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord. The Bible tells us in Acts 5, verse 15, that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Can you imagine? Just someone's shadow is passing by. They put sick people on the road, that when he passes, his shadow falls on them. And the Bible says, they were all healed. Amen. Power is available. It depends on how hungry you are. Number four, he is the helper in prayer. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, likewise, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Bible is telling us that many times we don't even know what to pray for. Maybe you're feeling there's a trouble. Pray the Spirit. Pray the Spirit. Why? Because when you pray the Spirit, you are praying according to the will of God. Amen? And the Holy Spirit himself helps us to pray as we ought. You see, it is one thing to know what to pray for, but it's another thing to be praying as you ought. That means that there's a time that God can demand you to be in a season of prayer. He's seeing there's some troubles ahead. He's seeing maybe 2026 is going to be difficult. And he starts to draw you into the place of prayer. When you start feeling that, I need to be away from people. That is the Holy Spirit showing you how you ought to pray. Amen? He is our helper in prayer. We don't know what to pray for, but he helps us in prayer. Another thing that the Holy Spirit helps us with is that he is the wisdom and the revelation of God. He's called the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Many people can read the Bible, but not everyone has revelation. Revelation comes from the Holy Spirit. What is revelation? Revelation is unconcealing, revealing something that is hidden. Something that is hidden can only be revealed through the Holy Spirit. You see, why do you find there are some, you know, imams or people who can quote for you the scripture? They can tell you which verse is this. They can tell you this verse and this verse. But they have no revelation. It is a storybook to them. You can find people have PhDs in theology, but they don't have the Spirit. They can quote for you Genesis to Revelation. They can argue with you. They can say, what does John 3:16 say? You want to check, they know it. But it is letters, not spirit and life. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 7 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God, which he ordained before the ages for our glory. The wisdom of God is for our glory. Amen? That means that your life is supposed to be beautiful because you walk in the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God will tell you apply for this job. The wisdom of God will tell you don't waste your time applying for this. You have better things to do. If you learn by the wisdom of God, you will be guided in everything. Amen? The wisdom of God also, or rather the why we need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is that he cultivates the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives for Christian living. What is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? And mark the scripture. It says, let's go to the next one. It says, the fruit, Galatians 5, 22 to 23, it says, but the fruit, it does not say the fruits in plural. It says the fruit of the Spirit. That means that this is one fruit that has many parts. That means that when you have the fruit of the Spirit, we must see love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Any Christian that is filled with the Holy Spirit, there is a certain character we'll see about him. There is love. You meet someone and you feel compassion for them. There is joy. Things are tough, but there is just some joy in your heart. You're struggling. Your business is struggling, but there is just some joy in your heart. You have been given a notice that your contract is ending, but there is just some peace that no one can explain. Why? Because it is from the Holy Spirit. I tell you, when you walk in the peace and in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, Colossians 3 verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on, that means you clothe yourself with tender mercies, kindness, humility, long suffering. Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruits, not their gifts. Amen. Someone can come and do so many miracles, but they are living in immorality. That will tell you this person might have powers from the wrong side. Because we need to be able to discern, is this from God and this from the devil? How do we know? By the fruit. Because one of the things you know, even those people who give gifts and what I was hearing someone was told, you can be giving to the poor but never show emotion. Just give but don't show emotion. That means they can give you, but it's nothing. It's just for pictures. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to the believers when we receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 to 11, that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. That means that God can give each of us different gifts. Amen? But it is the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but is the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, of operations, but it is the same God who works in all in all. Now, just quickly, I'll tell you, gifts are from the Spirit of God. But if you want to minister, you'll have to recognize that He is the Lord. Ministry comes to those who have recognized that Jesus is Lord. When Jesus becomes your Lord, then you ask, what is it that you want me to do? What should my money do? What is it that you want me to do in the house of God? And then when it becomes operations or activities, it is the power of God. Amen? There are differences in all this. Verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the same Spirit. Through the Spirit. What is the word of wisdom? The word of wisdom is knowing what to do. You know, I always give this analogy. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Okay? Knowledge is information. The doctor knows that smoking kills. But you find that the doctor is smoking. So the doctor has knowledge, but he lacks wisdom. Now, the word of wisdom is to know what to do at each and every moment of your life. That means by now you know you are 30. God is telling you by wisdom, this is where you need to be. By now you know you want to make an investment. God tells you, don't invest in this company. It will crash. That is wisdom. And at times you might not even know how you knew it. But there's something called unknowing. God brings unknowing to you. You just know that my time is finished in Cox's Bazar. You cannot put a finger on it. But you know, because the Spirit inside you is giving you a word of wisdom to know that it is time. It says to another the word of knowledge. What is word of knowledge? I speak with Kumbi. I'm such sharing. And I said, oh yeah, have you thought of starting a business? And he said, but I was thinking about it. That was a word of knowledge. Amen. God revealed something. It brought to your knowledge. Amen. And many times what we think is prophecy, when someone says, I see your problem is coming for you, let me tell you your father's name is this. That is not prophecy. That is word of knowledge. We think it is prophecy. It is word of knowledge. So what people think that, oh, the man of God told me this, that is word of knowledge. That is not prophecy. We think it is prophecy. It is word of knowledge. Another one. Verse 9. Faith by the same Spirit. Now, I want to ask yourself, but all of us have faith. We are only saved by faith. Why is it a gift? It is a gift because there are people who have crazy faith. Someone can just see a crippled man and say, you crippled man, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And even holds the crippled man and brings him up. The crippled man falls, he goes and holds him again. Get up and walk. The crippled man falls again. And then goes a third time and picks him up, and the crippled man stands. Now, that is a gift of faith. Because the Spirit has ministered to you faith for that moment. Everyone has faith, but there is a gift of faith. If you want to work in miracles, you ask the Holy Spirit to give you the gift of faith. Amen. Everyone can, we are told to pray for the sick to be healed. Amen. Lay your hand on the sick and then. But then there are some people who is natural. They just wake up, they greet you. You are having pain, the pain disappears. Those ones are having what? Gifts of healings. Why is it even saying healing? It says that there are people who their specialist is ear problems. Any deaf ear must hear. There are people their specialist is eyes. Any eye they meet, if it is blind, it must hear. That's why you say they are gifts of healing. Now, God is saying all these gifts are available to all of us. Amen? It is you to ask. Amen? Amen. Another one says, to another working of miracles. What is miracle? Anything that overrides the laws of nature. That's a miracle. A miracle is anything that overrides the law of nature. How can a barren woman just be told, by this time next year, you shall have a child? The doctors have said it is impossible. The man has no sperm. The woman has whatever condition, hormone, everything. No womb. There are cases I've had testimonies of a woman who even the womb was removed. Prophet said, you're going to have a baby. Next year, she came pregnant. And she went to the hospital. The doctor said, I am the one who removed this womb. How are you pregnant? He said, I was preached to. He said, show me that church, I will come. Why? Because the miracle overrides the laws of nature. Amen. To another prophecy. And prophecy, I've said, is speaking the mind of God. Amen. The mind of God can be for the present, or the mind of God can be for the future. Amen. And then another one says, discerning of spirits. Now, this is not the discernment. Everyone has this. All believers must have discernment. But when it says discerning of spirits, that means your spiritual eyes are open to see the spiritual world. Amen? That is discerning of spirits. And then to another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. And the last aspect of why we need the Holy Spirit is it is for the birth and the sustenance of the church. Amen. The church, the body without the Spirit is dead. The church without the Holy Spirit is dead. The believer without the Holy Spirit is dead. You are among the walking dead. The unbeliever is dead. That means if you are marrying an unbeliever and you are a believer, that means you are marrying a dead person. Marry someone who is alive like him. Amen? Amen? What is our conclusion? The Bible says, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent. This is how we get filled with the Holy Spirit. Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you, your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. He told them, believe in Jesus. Believe that he has forgiven you. If you come to him and ask for forgiveness, he forgives you. Then after you have been forgiven, receive. Ask him. That means that if you are forgiven, you qualify before God to receive. Amen? Amen. And that's why I've said, everyone who has believed in the Lord Jesus and who has asked God to forgive them and they have believed, There's nothing stopping them from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand, and we're going to pray and ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit. I'll ask you if you can be of the King's.